Balls are back.
Yeah, they had us the first half, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, could be Wayne!
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh!
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby!
Them orange britches! Something about them orange britches!
Tennessee wins!
By Tennessee, Jawan Jennings!
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
Sir, you found a way, okay? All right, now, what I tell you, okay? All right, this decade is going to be the decade of the Vols. You got it?
Yes, sir!
Reddit did to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Wednesday, August 19th. We don't have to talk about the Big Ten anymore. That's not true. I've got a stupidity about the Big Ten, so we are going to talk about the Big Ten some more.
When are they coming back?
That's kind of my stupidity. It goes in. Okay. It goes in with that. But the good news is we officially have an SEC schedule. Tennessee is back on the practice field. Jeremy Banks is back. We're the Vol Nation. See, the good thing about the NCAA. I know a lot of us don't like the NCAA, but the good thing about
What's the good thing?
Hold on, I'm interested. I'll get there.
Okay.
It brings Vol Nation together.
Okay, yeah.
Hashtag K Mays. Everybody's tweeting it. It's the people's Twitter names. It brings Vol Nation together. So if we're going to... The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So we might not all like each other, but we all hate the NCAA.
We united, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
I love it.
That's true. That's true. That is the only positive about the NCAA right now.
Exactly. 48 hours away from high school football kickoff. Or actually, is there a Thursday game?
There is a Thursday game.
Is it?
Gibson Halls, I'm pretty sure.
So, was it supposed to be the Morristowns?
Not that I'm aware.
Okay. I know their season got pushed back. But regardless, so 24 hours away now from high school football starting back, which is exciting. I think a lot of people were maybe expecting that not to happen, but it's getting done, at least for now. You've got a full slate. You got a Thursday game. Obviously, all the Friday games. And then some teams... Are even playing Saturday night, at least South Knoxville, South Doyle is. So we'll even get some Saturday football action this week.
Yeah, full week. So we used to get like, it was almost every day besides like Wednesday, but we did our show. So we like got every day of something sports when football season is usually happening.
Right. You're talking about Tuesday night Maction?
Yeah, we get Maction, we get a Thursday night high school football game, or Thursday Maction, or Thursday.
High school football.
Yeah. Or NFL.
And NFL, yeah.
And so you get Monday night football, you get Saturday, Sunday. Oh, man. I miss those days.
But hey, we're like
close.
A month and a half away from having all those.
Yeah.
So we're getting there. We'll make it through. We've made it through this long. I mean, we can wait a few more weeks. We are going to talk about the SEC schedule. Tennessee schedule, I guess, really, is what we're going to look at. And we talked about it a little bit. We released that little snippet Tuesday. I mean, you could probably find nitpick and find your complaints. But all in all, you couldn't ask for a better schedule if you were going to get Auburn and A&M your two other West opponents.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm excited to talk a little bit about that SEC or Tennessee SEC only schedule, and I guess we'll do some season predictions.
Yeah. Before we do that, let me tell you about our sponsors, Hound Dogs and Tennessee Tap House. They make this show possible, so go check them out. We'll have a lot of things coming. I think Saturday we have a cornhole tournament at Tennessee Tap House. So go on volunteerroadshow.com. They got all that information. Go check them out. Create an account. That gets you all our free content, all our shows and everything like that. There's a Volunteer Roadshow store who we will do some giveaways for here in a little bit. So go do that. Also, comment
right now.
Give us some questions if you got any. We'd be happy to answer those throughout the show. And tell us where you're from.
Yeah, I was
asking.
Yeah,
you're listening from.
It's interesting to see where everybody's at. We've had some people in here from Germany, I know, before.
Oh.
Yeah, which is weird. I know, I realize that. But it goes to prove that Vol Nation's everywhere.
Well, you're not.
I love going on vacation and I pack a Tennessee hat or Tennessee shirt for once a day. And I love just trying to get Go Vols, like just wearing it.
Just in passing, Go Vols.
Yeah. What was really fun, I think I talked about it when I returned from Phoenix. I don't remember getting a Go Vols in Phoenix. I got one in Chicago Airport. But in Phoenix, not everybody. I talked to like five people. Five people were like, oh, you're a Tennessee fan. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, one guy had been to Neyland for an SEC game. I think it was Tennessee versus Georgia in 15. And then a bunch of people were like, man, I want to go to Neyland. Like, that's my bucket list football stadium. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's really cool. So, yeah. Vol Nation's everywhere.
I've only seen like one person that I've actually said go Vols to, and they had no idea what I was talking about.
They just picked it up at like Goodwill or something.
I guess. I was just like, they're like, what? And I was like, never mind, you're good.
To be fair, I've worn Tennessee stuff like without really like, because I mean, it's just part of my wardrobe at this point. I don't even know I'm wearing it sometimes. And I'll hear go Vols, and I'm like, are they talking to me? Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, it just takes me a minute.
You should yell it out. No matter who it's to, you still yell it out.
Most of the time I hear go Vols, and I don't care who it is. I'm like, go Vols. Immediately back. We are going to talk about.
We got a guy in California.
Hey, oh, nice.
Yeah. So, Raymond Lowry in California.
There you go. What part? Southern? Northern? Southern? That depends. It depends. I'm just kidding. We like everybody in California, sort of. Somebody in California. Let's talk about the 2020 Tennessee schedule, though. It was released on Monday? Monday, yes. My days are all confused because we've already talked about it a little bit. But Monday they dropped the 3 o'clock. They dropped the opening one. A little underwhelming opening week. I thought if they were doing that 3 p.m. thing, I thought it was going to be an exciting week one. I thought they were really going
to hook us. Every good story. I mentioned that on the – every good story has a hook. And the SEC failed on that story time.
Yeah, it is what it is.
But Tennessee's got probably the, I guess, second most interesting matchup, first or second?
I would almost say first because it's going to play more into the SEC East than Auburn and Kentucky.
Yeah. I guess just like better teams, I would probably say Auburn and Kentucky. Yeah.
I would agree with that. But Tennessee does have one of the only – two intriguing matchups in week one. So I guess that's exciting for Tennessee fans. September 26th, Tennessee, for the opening game of 2020, will travel to South Carolina. Is Muschamp on the hot seat? Gotta be. How did he not get fired last year, I guess, is my question.
So I think it's just because of his buyout. And then with all this going on, with them losing money, I just don't see them firing him with, I think it's like $18 million. That's a big buyout.
What in the... Who wrote that... Who, what, when, where, why? Is that even a thing?
We did it.
How do you think you can... $8 million. Don't put that evil on us. Or
I know, but it was probably way too long.
To be fair, though, I'm not saying Butch Jones was going to be successful. Will Muschamp had already failed at one of the best programs in the East.
It's true.
And so one of the... middle tier mediocre programs in the East thought they could win there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, whose resume is better? Like, oh, he was a coach at Florida.
Yeah, but he got fired.
Or hey, he was a coach at Cincinnati.
But that experiment, the thing is, though, is so every, this is my argument when everyone gets mad. They're like, we hired a coach from Cincinnati. My argument about that is every coach has to get their break at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Butch Jones, I'm not saying he should have necessarily gotten it. At the time, I said yes, but. Looking back, you know, it's easy to say no. But you already had Will Muschamp's succeed or fail, like pass or fail right there. It's like he already took this once. Now you're going to pay him $18 million
yeah.
to take it again? No.
No, that's a lot of freaking money. Yeah, I wouldn't have done it either. I guess like ours is just bad because we hired a coach from Louisiana Tech and then we hired a coach from Cincinnati.
Yeah, so his buyout is now because he took a pay cut to get Bobo. His buyout now is $15.5 million as of December 1st. So they fire him before December 1st, $15 million.
That's a lot.
That's absurd. And this is what, his fourth year there?
So he's not going to get fired.
Third year there? No. This will be his fourth year, right?
Yeah, something like that.
That is insane. So you get another year, Will Muschamp. Time for Jeremy Pruitt. You know, we talked about is Tennessee going to finally break that curse last year. They did, thankfully, in a... I loved how someone stated it on our Twitter account when we tweeted a video of the South Carolina game. Or maybe it was when we said that we were playing South Carolina first. Some South Carolina fan jumped in there and talked trash, and someone was like, we spotted you 7 points and still beat you by 20.
That's true.
It is. From the opening kickoff, I was very nervous. I thought it was going to be one of those long days, and I had a jerk South Carolina fan in front of me. But starting quarterback Jawan Jennings took us to victory.
He did.
He gets a – well, he didn't play enough, I guess. But I was about to say, in baseball, he gets the win.
Yeah, he probably doesn't get the win.
He didn't get the win.
I don't know who would get the win.
Probably Garantano.
Maybe JT.
Maybe JT. Because JT played quite a bit before Garantano came in and then finished the game out after he broke his hand.
So maybe JG got the save. Maybe JT got the win.
I don't know. We'd have to look at the splits there to decide that. But I like that matchup. I like going to South Carolina first. I think you're more talented that team. I think you have less question marks than that team. I feel like this is a game that you can kind of throw a bunch of stuff at them. Because I think here's what I like about playing an opponent first that's not a cupcake. You get to be, I feel, more creative.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you that ability. Whereas I feel like a lot of coaches get handcuffed and like, I don't want to show too much. You might as well here. It's an SEC game. You have to.
Yeah, and especially with Muschamp, with them just being so defensive heavy the past couple of years, you know, they're not able to really – I mean, they probably know somewhat at what Tennessee does, but they don't have games this season to actually watch
them. Exactly, yeah. It's something new. Yep. It's something new. And then October 3rd, bringing Missouri to Knoxville. It's I think Missouri is going to be more underwhelming than they were last year.
Yeah.
Defense – probably about the same. Offense is going to be, I think, struggle bussing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know who starts quarterback for them.
I don't think they know who starts quarterback
that's
for them.
Probably true, and that's probably not good.
To be fair, I guess Tennessee doesn't either. But
I think Missouri is probably just worried about their schedule at this point, so they're not even like thinking about Tennessee right now is probably the least of their worries. I'm trying to see who they play first.
I was going to say, I don't know what their schedule exactly looks like. I guess we can go and flip to that.
Oh, they play Alabama first. So they're going to be beat all to crap and then come to Knoxville. So, yeah, that should be fun.
Should be a real fun event.
Should be 2-0. Happy for them. Headed to Athens.
Which I like. And this is what I said on Tuesday, that if Tennessee looks at their schedule and their toughest stretch of game in the last 5 years is Georgia, Kentucky, and Alabama, everyone's very, very happy about
that. Take that, yeah.
Everyone's very happy about that. So Tennessee, after they play Missouri, will travel to Georgia. I was very excited to get Georgia in November. I feel Georgia's usually a better team at the start than how they close it out, with some exceptions here and there. But I feel like that's typical. But the good news is it's not anything new. You typically play Georgia at this point in the season. So you get to go to Georgia. I don't know what to expect out of this Georgia team. You're going to have a really good defense, but I feel like there could be some – I think this Georgia team has the ability to be really, really good, especially when you look at I think this could – they're not going to fire
Kirby,
but I feel like this could be a very, very defining moment of his tenure at Georgia.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he needs to prove that he can beat an Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, and you get that opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, they're gonna find out in the regular season, which is nice. But I think that I'm so mad that the SEC kind of protected all those teams like Georgia, Alabama, Florida, LSU.
Yeah, they don't. It's not a very challenging schedule for them.
No, especially Florida. They don't have to play Alabama. And then they got Texas A&M and Ole Miss.
I guess it's a similar schedule to us. But we already had Arkansas on the rotating. They had – who are they rotating? The LSUs are non.
Mm.
And then they had – who is their non-rotating in 2020? So they picked up Ole Miss and A&M,
I guess they picked up Arkansas.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't feel bad. Oh, that's so frustrating. I mean, I knew Tennessee was going to draw the short end of that, but it is what it is.
I'm trying to see exactly when, because I'm pretty sure Georgia and Florida both got Arkansas.
Yeah, Arkansas got shafted. Shafted.
Yep. So they do play Florida away. So they have to go to the swamp right after Tennessee plays them. So November 14th.
When are they all gonna opt out? All those players. Phillip Franks is going to start preparing for the draft.
Dude, it was crazy. Arkansas was the one on, like, the front line saying that they wanted to play. The AD went public.
Yeah, they didn't know they were going to get – they didn't know they were going to get just completely
– I guess that was before they, like, actually had practice and they're like, oh, man, this sucks.
They're living on that new coach hope still?
Yeah, yeah.
And then October 17th, bringing Kentucky to Knoxville early on in the season. Is that the beer barrel? Is that at Peyton Saloon? Do you see those pictures, or is it a replica?
Is it the same one that's in Needham? Didn't Niedermeyer have one?
Niedermeyer had one. Niedermeyer showed us that because I think a lot of people were like, we don't know where it's at. It's at the facility somewhere. And then Niedermeyer took a picture of it in his office. And then I'm sure it's a replica, but Peyton had it.
I'd like to have a replica.
The Saloon 16. Well, we should make one.
Anybody making them out there? Like,
we could make one.
We could.
We just need a barrel.
It's a lot of work.
Just paint it.
I feel like we could
get... Just sand it and paint
it. So, barrel. I'm trying to think of like a moonshine distillery. Do you think they have like barrels?
Not a moonshine. Like a whiskey distillery.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we need to go. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to
think. We probably just order one online.
Yeah, we probably could do that. But I was thinking like... I know people at Old Smoky. We could probably get one from them.
Maybe they do. I don't know. I've never heard of moonshine being made in a barrel, but
yeah,
maybe.
Back in my old days.
They do. Some of those places sell whiskey and stuff, though. So I don't know if Old Smoky does, but like Old Forge, maybe I think is where I went. They had whiskey. I don't know.
They got barrels for sale.
Pass. I don't know. Pass. But
it'd be cool to have a tailgate.
Yeah, I would love that. I wanted to make miniature ones, and that was a tall task. I didn't have the right kind of paint. I was going to do it. Maybe this year. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. I'd like to make a life-size. I'd love to make a life-size.
Oh, like the monkey in the barrel kind of ones.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That'd be cool.
But let's do life-size first. Let's try.
I think that would be probably easier painting-wise.
I think it'd be a lot easier painting-wise. Yeah. After trying to paint... I think this one would be a lot easier.
Especially if it's just one, and you don't have to do a billion different ones with more detail. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Kentucky, though, I do think Kentucky is going to be better than South Carolina, Vanderbilt. And I think it could be a battle between Tennessee and Kentucky for that third spot in the East. I think that's really possible. I don't think Kentucky has
Cole
the ability
Kubelik
to win the East.
Loves Kentucky.
Do what?
Cole Kubelik loves Kentucky.
He is too high on Kentucky. He has them better than Auburn and A&M and Tennessee.
Yeah. Fifth in the SEC.
I'm selling that.
Yeah, there's no
immediately.
Way. There's no
not
way.
Even thinking twice about it. And then the fourth Saturday in October, because that rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
Tennessee versus Alabama in Neyland. 25%.
But it's different, though. So does that mean we get them? Because it's a little different?
I don't know. Yeah, that atmosphere might throw them off. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Gotcha. You thought.
We wanted to make it loud, but it's quiet.
Right.
So good luck.
Well, Alabama just thinks it's the third Saturday because it's like starts on October 3rd, so they probably just don't know the difference.
Exactly. Here's the good thing about Tennessee's schedule: you have Florida and Alabama at home, and regardless of how many fans are in the stadium, regardless of whether tailgating is on campus or on the river or next to the church or near World's Fair
or at Allen Sign.
I'm just throwing some random places out there. Pick up on them if you want. The atmosphere around in Knoxville is going to be so it's going to make football season really feel like football season. You're going to miss out on a lot of these games. Kentucky, that time of year, it actually might be a good environment. Missouri in October 3rd, I don't know what that environment's like. I don't know if it feels like football season with 15,000 people in the stadium with you and not much tailgating going on. But Alabama, October 24th, is going to be a very, very unique but fun experience.
Yeah, because then, like, the next week is the bye week, so you can...
You rest up.
Yeah, you can crawl to that bye week. But that's a good thing with the schedule. You're not having to just, like, gut through a gauntlet.
No, and that three-game stretch is going to be very, very nice for Tennessee, especially when you consider not only is it a bye week, but the next week you get Arkansas.
So you get another bye week.
Essentially. Please don't overlook them at Georgia State, but the good news is you're not paying them.
I think Georgia State beats the crap out of Arkansas.
There is a chance. Who did they lose to last year? North Texas?
Probably.
I think they lost. I think Arkansas lost to North Texas. Or they made a miraculous comeback.
2 years ago.
Was that 2 years ago?
Was that the punt?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that was two years ago.
It wasn't 18, you're right. They lost 44-17.
To North Texas 2 years ago.
The mean green, baby.
Oh, man.
You love to see it. But, yeah, Tennessee does travel to Arkansas after that bye week. That's the first game in November. Should set you up really nicely. Maybe give you some confidence rolling into A&M. Bringing A&M to Knoxville, actually, after that.
First time ever.
Yeah. Wait, like in the history of Tennessee and A&M?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I think we've only played them like four times.
Yeah, I think twice was in a bowl game, and then
I know one was in the Cotton Bowl in like 2007.
Yeah. I think this is the first time Tennessee's ever hosted A&M.
That's pretty neat. That sucks that there's no fans, but you get them again in like 2024.
Yeah, I like that they're just gonna like.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, I don't think they've actually announced it yet, but I think everything's gonna stay the same in the future.
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, they've met three times total. So twice, once in the Cotton Bowl, I know for sure. Then once obviously at Kyle Field. I don't know where the other one was.
Gotcha.
Oh, full game list page. And then after that, you go to Auburn, which is, you know, weird. But played them in the Gator Bowl, actually. We won 3-0 in 1957. So that was exciting.
Man, what a barn burner.
And then Cotton Bowl in 05, not 07.
The Big 12 would have thrown up at that game.
They would have, well, 1957, they wouldn't have been in the Big 12. So no.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, okay. So that I forgot they weren't. But I'm saying, like, now.
Now,
like,
yeah, they would have been.
Game, they're like, oh, my God.
They would have been pissed.
We had to, no wonder why we kicked Texas A&M out of the Big 12.
Then, travel to Auburn. What's the, I don't know what my take on this Auburn team is. I mean, I guess no one knows until you see them play. But
yeah. I think they'll have a good team. Like, Tennessee, Auburn, and Texas A&M, I just don't see, like, there's not a huge difference.
But Auburn's got to improve from last year, right? You'd think?
They had a decent year last
year. Yeah. But I think they improve is my point.
Yeah. I think they lost some people on defense. That's tough. Lost a corner.
They did lose some people on defense, like, but I feel like they can replace. Line. Defense is the only kind of question, but I feel like they have a pretty good chance to replace some of those guys.
Yeah, I think they recruit well. So, yeah, I think they'll have a decent team.
I like Bo Nix.
You've done it before.
Yeah, exactly.
At Auburn. You've done it.
I like Bo Nix.
With a terrible team.
Bad football team. A not great football team. That was a very unexpected win. I had to wear gray jerseys two weeks in a row because I wore it for the Auburn game. I wasn't going to chance it. Yeah. I had to see if it was the jersey's fault or whatever. And then Vandy. You travel to Nashville and in front of a hostile crowd of... Is it 25% of what you're... capacity stadium holds, or is it 25% of what your normal capacity is? Because Vandy's down to like 10 fans.
Yeah. I think their normal like home game is what Tennessee will have on Saturdays.
Oh, far less.
Well, like I'm saying, like their normal is our 25%.
Mm.
And that's when...
No. That's like their stadium capacity.
Is 20... I thought it's like 30,000.
Yeah, but they're not even it's filling. Like, it's they're like not 26. Even filling that
and
thing
that,
up.
That's probably boosted a little bit, but
they're not even filling that thing up 10%.
Well, it's they probably just took into account that they just did the Tennessee games and counted them as
that's their capacity. Yeah. Well, that's here's the thing. Tennessee's gonna buy up the 30,000, so they're gonna have like 8,000 people there. Tennessee's gonna be 7,000 of those. In November.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That's going to be most than half their home games last year.
Yeah, I think most people just, like, buy their season tickets that are Tennessee fans for Vanderbilt
to
sell them to Tennessee fans down the road.
Their stadium holds 40,000, which is shocking.
They got a big press box.
One. Yeah, that's... I'm curious what a Vanderbilt...
Are they counting all the staff and everything, too?
Probably. They're like, what does a stadium hold if you pack the field, too?
I remember somebody telling us that when they used to have the high school...
So it's 8,000 would be their 25%. Oh, that's 20%, so a little bit more than that.
So I remember them telling us when the high school state championship used to be there,
mm-hmm.
that there would be more people at... those state championship games than there were at the Vanderbilt games.
I am shocked. None.
I'm like, that is terrible.
I mean, especially, I want to know what their average season attendance was last year. And then I want to know what their actual average season attendance was.
I thought somebody said it's like 26,000.
There's no way. Average?
That's... I don't know that. I mean, that's probably Vanderbilt reporting that.
But. Yeah.
I don't know how you get a real one.
Georgia had a similar game like Tennessee, where they
just took over the stadium.
Mm-hmm. Which now, especially with Nashville being such a big city, you're going to have prominent alumni associations in them. Like, Georgia, there's going to be a Georgia Alumni Association there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to do that easy. Yeah. Like, most teams are going to do that very easily now.
Then we end it with Florida.
And then you bring Florida to Knoxville in December. I love how people think it's going to snow. Like, you don't know winter in Knoxville doesn't start till January, like, 15th? Come on.
Yeah, it's probably going to rain. It's going to pour down
rain. And it is going to be cold and rainy.
Yeah. Yeah, this game's interesting because the last time we won in 2001 in December because it was moved because September 11th.
Yes.
And that's
when, that was in Gainesville.
Yep. Yeah. That's when Travis Stevens
went off. We talked about that. 226 yards. I think he had two touchdowns. And then Bobby Graham, leading receiver, was 71 yards.
BG. Love that man.
And then talk about Iceman Casey Clawson.
He texted me right after. He's like, "Did you already see this?" And it was like it was like when they reported no tailgates on campus.
Did you tell him, Alan?
I'll let him know.
Yeah, so we're gonna have to get Bobby Graham usually throws a good little tailgate for the former players. He's invited us over a couple times. Got to enjoy that.
What'd they give us the last time?
Had a hottie toddy.
Hottie toddy. Yeah.
That lady was very excited to make them. I appreciate her enthusiasm.
Hot toddy?
Hot toddy. Hottie. I think, I don't know. Hot toddy. It's hot. A hot beverage hot mixed toddy. With alcohol, whatever okay. It's called.
Yeah. It was good. It was delicious.
I'm not very familiar with alcoholic beverage terms. I'm just not.
No, not you.
I'm really not, though. I'm not. I've been watching Bar Rescue. I don't know why. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
And they're That's like,
pretty sad.
They're like, make me this drink. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, a bartender should know. Don't get me wrong. But right. I'm like, I don't know what that is. Like, I don't even have a good guess. Like, I had no idea what to put in that.
Oh, yeah. If they said a name, I'd be like, what's in that? I mean, I got it back here. But, like, what do I actually put in that?
Love it. That's the ball schedule, though. So, what's your prediction? 10 games, SEC only. The Vols, I think Vegas had it. Bovada had it at like 4.5, I think was the line.
Yeah, what?
Okay.
I'm taking that over.
Yeah, I'll take that over. 5, though.
5 is, I wouldn't put money on 5. 4.5,
Here's my thing about 5. I think I take, for the same reason I take 4.5, I think I take the 5. I think I take 5. Take the over. Because at the worst, I think you push. I think they win 5 games at least.
Yeah, I think if you're Jeremy Pruitt, you have to win 5 games.
I would agree with that.
Because if you want to prove that your program is moving forward, you got to beat the teams you've already proven you can beat. And now if you want to move forward, you got to upset somebody. Yes. So I think 6-4 is a safe bet.
There's 5 wins right here sitting there. It's South Carolina, Missouri, Kentucky. South 6, right? 5. South Carolina, Missouri, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. That's 5 wins that you – No, not another thought about it. You should win those games.
Yep. And you gotta upset somebody. To prove that you're moving forward, you gotta beat a Texas A&M and Auburn.
And if you and let's say the flip side of that, I think the only game you could lose and it wouldn't be the end of the world is Kentucky. So then, like you said, you need to upset somebody. That's 5 wins. I think you get 5 wins. 5-5. I'm gonna say 6-4. I like 6-4. I think this team takes a step. Because we talked about it last week when we previewed the quarterback position. As much as I think there's a question at quarterback, I don't think it's a concern. I think you have a quarterback on that roster. I don't know who it is, but I've got to imagine in a fifth-year senior, fourth-year starter, or a five-star quarterback who's highly rated coming out of high school, or a guy that's going to get the entire offseason to compete plus part of the season to compete, two guys really, I think somewhere in that mix you find a quarterback that can win you ball games. And that's your biggest concern or your biggest question. Not concern, biggest question. Outside of that, I think you're going to answer a lot of questions with a pass rush. The more I think about it, I'm feeling more confident. Plus, you added a linebacker who I think is an athlete and is going to give you a lot. And I think he stays in the linebacker position too. I know we talked a little bit about that on Monday. I think this team got better this week. And 6-4. I think it's 6-4.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard to score on Tennessee. I think that defense is going to be in the best we've seen it in a long time.
Yeah, I think you're at least good in the middle of the defensive line if you don't have a great edge rush.
Yeah, and last year you didn't have anybody that just, like, stood out But as a committee, you did a pretty decent job. I mean, as good as anybody thought you would.
Right.
And I think that secondary's experience, I think they're going to be good. I like what you have, an inside backer. Pass rush, that's kind of like, who are we going to get? But I think the same with quarterback. You have somebody on that roster that's able to get the job done.
Right.
They just got to step up.
Right.
And quarterback, I don't think you have to have a quarterback that's going to win you ball games. You have a quarterback to manage the game and not turn the football over.
I think to win five games, yeah. I think if you want to get that upset, maybe two upsets, I think you're going to have to find a quarterback that'll win you a ball game.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't know. Harrison Bailey, will he get it done? Let's hope.
I mean, like...
I'll take anybody.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing is, like, yeah, Harrison Bailey, because he looks like... Like, out of high school, he's definitely the most talented quarterback on this roster.
Right.
But who's developed over this break? Who has solidified themselves as, like, hey, I'm going to go win this job? Who's going to have the locker room?
That's a big question, too.
Yeah. Because I feel like Brian Maurer, like, I feel like a lot of people like him. But can he get it done on the field? That's when, like... Yeah, people can like you, but can you get it done on the field? That's when you get the locker room.
Well, I mean, he even brings energy to the field and locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I think his is a question more about talent than leadership.
Right. Yeah, decision making.
Yeah,
100%.
Mm-hmm.
We always talk about quarterbacks.
Yep. We always got to. Surprised we haven't gotten a question about it. Let's talk about Hal, because I said I think this team improved this week, which, I mean, I guess he's been a part of the program for a month, but it's been unofficial. Since, like, March. It's been officially unofficial. Yeah. It is officially official as of Monday. Jeremy Banks is back.
He's back. It's good to see him. It's good to see 33 in the middle of that defense again. Now, will he start?
I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
And you need it.
He adds depth. He adds leadership.
Yeah.
You know, Jeremy Pruitt doesn't throw around compliments very often, but he was very complimentary of Jeremy Banks a year ago.
Yeah. And you know, and here's the thing. I don't think Tennessee needs a starting linebacker, whether you're talking about middle linebacker or, I mean, even if you're going to talk about backing up toe-to-toe, I don't think they need a starting linebacker. But they needed depth there because I think there's a lot of questions about the depth. So you added somebody there to give you more reps, and that's what you need.
And you saw it last year with the depth. It was Henry Toe-to-toe and Daniel Petulli. And then Will Ignott transferred, Shannon Reed transferred, Jeremy Banks was off the team. And so when those two games happened where Henry Toe-to-toe and Daniel Petulli were both ejected for targeting, you saw how depleted we were at that position. We were playing a walk-on in Sloan Page. We were playing Aaron Beasley, who was a borderline DB. That's how small he was, or a running back. And J.J. Peterson, who just hasn't figured it out yet.
Right.
So, yeah, having a guy like Jeremy Banks who has experience can give you he's done it before. So even if he's not a starter, even if
he's probably not a starter either.
Right. Yeah.
I just doubt it.
But yeah, he's going to give you enough, like, he's going to make enough plays to be a good backup.
Yeah, you don't want those linebackers playing nowadays 70 snaps a game.
Right.
Like that's a dangerous amount of snaps. You're going to get beat at some point if you do that. So to come in here and add that depth is big for this team. And it's also big when you adding a guy like Jeremy Banks, who's just going to play really, really hard.
Yeah, and he's another one of those energy guys.
Yep,
absolutely. He brings energy, and I think a lot of people – I don't think he would be given this opportunity if he didn't have any leadership qualities to him.
Right. I think my favorite story about Jeremy Banks, speaking of energy, is apparently when he got his first couple of looks at scout – I guess you're probably going like ones versus twos or one versus threes, not really scout team. But he was playing running back, and – apparently the ones were getting very frustrated with him because he was playing full tilt, when probably one of those unwritten rules at that level where you're not always going full tilt, even if it is play to the whistle or whatever.
Yeah.
Apparently he was playing a little too hard, and some of the veterans were getting upset with him. But you know what? When you're a freshman, you're trying to make a name for yourself, you're going to go hit hard. And he did it. And I love that. I think that happened on with Jonathan Abrams on Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you love it.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got to learn, but
right.
You love it the first couple times.
Yep. Definitely, yeah. That's probably how he got, like, oh, holy crap, who's this kid? Let's try him at linebacker.
Yeah, yeah, for real.
He can't hold on to the football, so let's get somebody that can knock it loose.
That's an issue. Yeah. And then fans in Neyland this year. Man, what a... We're not as big of a mess as A&M, so that's good.
I didn't see A&M.
I'll say that for my stupidity, but okay. They've already moved down the number as of yesterday that they said they were going to allow in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that was quick.
They're dumb. Tennessee officially announced that they were going to, I think a couple days ago, they announced at 25% capacity. And then they sent out an email today, not very detailed email, kind of vague, and pretty much just like, come and support us, please. Because as of, according to Phil Fulmer's email, they sent out, sorry, I'm trying to send out this tweet. According to Phil Fulmer's email, they could be losing between 30 and 40 million as it stands today. That's with 25% of ticket sales or whatever. And I guess whatever food concession, all that jazz. They're asking you to,
it would double if you didn't have football.
If you didn't have it at all, I guess if you didn't have it at all, or if you didn't have fans,
he said if you didn't have it at all.
Okay. And then asked you if you, if you've already bought your tickets, so that's given your donation and paid for your tickets, to pretty much just roll that over and donate. I don't know what exactly that means. And I don't think you'll know until, I think it's tomorrow they're going to send out another email, right?
Yeah.
But what that could get you, so let's say you did do that real quick. You're going to get a bonus of 5 times Tennessee fund points, which I think is how it's your priority level,
right? Yeah, so I think that gives you like maybe deals on away games, like parking passes.
Okay. So
dad was trying to explain it to me because like he's the one that gets those emails, so I don't really.
Yeah, so I think it's similar to that stuff. So like priority for purchasing parking passes for way home, everything. That moves you up there. And then a name plaque on they're going to, I guess, commemorate a wall to this season because, I mean, it is troubling, I guess, but that seems kind of goofy to me. And then
it's not like we passed away.
Yeah. And then an orange and white pregame celebration on Friday night if everything can go as smooth in April, which we'll see.
Is that before the orange and white game in 2021?
Yeah. Before the next one. If they can.
Gotcha.
If they can host. It'd be a little celebration. Phil Fulmer also announced he was taking a 15% pay cut. I don't know. It's just... Why are you asking your fans that already donate every year, who are probably also struggling from the same pandemic you're struggling from?
Yeah, that's my thing. Is like it was laid out like, hey, we're struggling, help us, but everybody else is struggling too.
Yeah,
like you can't.
And then here's my next question about the tickets. So if they donate the tickets and then they get picked in the lottery, will that money carry it? Can they use that money? Or once that money's donated to Tennessee, is it gone?
Yeah, I don't.
And then why not just roll it over to next year? You get an interest-free loan from me. So I say, all right, we've already paid my $900 for tickets. We don't do a donation. We already paid my $900 for tickets. You can keep it, but I want it and use it for whatever you need to use it. But next year, that's gonna be spent for my ticket. So you get an interest-free loan, and then you make it up elsewhere because next year you should. I can't remember what the reserve's at, but they've done a better job of replenishing the reserve. But I can't remember what it's at. But then you can operate next year, and yeah, it may take a couple years to dig out of this, but it's part of it.
Right,
it's part of it.
Yeah, and this is one of the like most profitable programs in the country. Like they're gonna make their money back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so like I want three like. This should be my three options. I get to go see 5 SEC games this year. And if I don't, then I either want my money back or you can do it till next year.
Well, I think they're going to split up the SEC games. So there's going to be a 2-game package and a 3-game package.
So I don't want that. If I'm not getting...
I mean, I'm probably not going to... Here's the thing. If I get the opportunity to buy tickets this year, I'm going to buy them and I'm going to resell them. I'm not going to bullcrap you. They're going to be worth a lot of money. That would be stupid of me not to.
Yeah. So I didn't think about that. But yeah, that's if I was going to like, so they're not going to give a 5-game option like Arkansas.
They may, but from what I understand that most teams are doing to give as many fans the ability to go to games, they're going to split it up. from what I understand. Now,
so is it going to be? So is the two games going to be Florida and Alabama, and then you're going to have
possibly, or you know,
Missouri, Kentucky, and Texas A&M.
Possibly, or it could be Florida and Arkansas, or Florida and Missouri, and then Kentucky, Alabama, and A&M, or something like that. They could split it up like that. I don't know. Like, they're going to assume Florida and Alabama are going to be the most wanted games, and they could split it up that way.
Yeah. I didn't think about something. That's a good point.
I'm not sure. I don't know how. I mean, we'll find out in the next couple of days. I just think by asking fans to donate and get – and some may want that extra Tennessee fund because they may want to move up in the priority list. But how much does it move you up if everybody donates? Zero. You stay the same.
Right.
So that's, you know – and all the other stuff is – good to offer for a donation or whatever, but it's like, how many of them would rather want that than if they're not? Because they're not. A lot of people of the, I think they sold 55,000 this year. They sold like 70,000 season tickets last year. They're not looking at it as a donation to the team, donation to the program, and then I get to go to the games. Like, it, they're purchasing their game tickets. That's it.
It's, yeah, for entertainment.
Yeah, it's not a. Yeah, it's they don't donate because they want to donate. They donate because you require it to purchase the seats.
Yeah, I don't know any person that would give their ticket money up just for a donation and not get to go to any of the games.
Right.
That's, I don't know of anybody. Maybe there's people out there, maybe there's big donors who don't really give a crap and just throw money at whatever.
I mean, there are those big donors, but they're going to get to go to every game in their skybox.
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't know of anybody who's going to do that.
No, I don't know of a single person. And it does seem a little out of touch to me. Here's the thing. I think Philip Fulmer is doing his best.
I think he had to send some kind of email.
Yeah, here's the thing I worry about. Not giving that donation back. And I told you today, I hate that word donation because it tells me right there when they go, you know, you have to have a donation to purchase these tickets. That tells me I'm not getting that back no matter what happens. It's a donation. You don't get refunded those. Mm. And I hate that terminology. I probably would not buy season tickets if we had to do it because I just think it's stupid. Or I'd try to buy them from aftermarket where you pretty much pay the donation, but you pay someone else's. Yeah. So I think it's stupid. They need to restructure how they do season tickets altogether. The purchase of season tickets should be for season tickets. If you, like you said, if you're given this money, you need to be able to purchase those season tickets with that money. Now, I don't know. I don't know the financial standpoint of it. I'm not going to pretend to, but it just seems crazy to me that you can't either roll that over to next year or get it back. Because I think most people, I think a lot of people, if they're like, can we keep this money to operate and we'll roll it over next year? I think most people would do that.
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah, I think most people would. Because I do think that's true for a lot of,
because it's season already paid. Like, right. If you've already paid it, like, you're that probably money's gone. Not missing it.
Right, yeah. That money's already gone. It is what it is. But you also don't want it to just be gone and not get anything out of it. Whether you're getting something out of it in a couple months or a year, you would, if you had to choose, you would take the year.
Right.
Not ever.
So we do have a question. He said, what about the people who bought the Vol Pass?
I'm going to go with no. Sorry.
Yeah, it's probably not looking good for people.
Here's my question. If you, hopefully you're still listening. I hope we got to your question in time.
Robert Faust.
Tell me, Robert, did you get an email from Coach Fulmer today? Like, were you a part of that email group? Because that would probably tell you where you stand. If you purchase a Vol Pass, that certainly will not guarantee you in the stadium. But you may be able to still enter the... I guess probably lottery is what they're doing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and have they even sold the Vol Pass yet?
That's a good point.
I don't think they have.
By the terminology of that question, I assumed. But then that's another thing. What are they going to do about basketball? Because it is just crazy to think that you're going to have even 20,000 in the arena, let alone, I don't know how many. You're not going to have a lot.
No.
So what are they doing about that?
I don't know. I'm glad I'm not in the position to make any decisions because I'd probably make the wrong one. We do have some questions. You want to go ahead and get to those real quick?
Yeah.
Because they kind of go off some of this. So, at VFL Pilgrim, he said, how do you think reduced capacity will affect single game ticket holders? I have tickets to Florida. Possible that we reach full capacity by then? I doubt it.
I think you're in the same situation as... You're probably in a different situation than the Vol Pass. If Vol Pass was purchased, you may have the opportunity to buy tickets. Maybe. If they weren't, I'm going to go – or, sorry. single game ticket holders, I'm going to imagine those. I'm sorry. I doubt if you're not a season ticket holder, unless you purchase them aftermarket, I doubt you'll be in the stadium.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. It sucks. I don't think I'll be there because we don't. So we've been grandfathered in because we've had our tickets for so long. So we don't have to donate the way it's set up. And we sit in section L. I like to call the south end zone the Vestal of Neyland. It has the tiny court.
Concourse
and the trough still, which I love. Hey, I love Vestal. I love Vestal. I'm not. It's not a bash on Vestal or the south side of Neyland.
Or troughs.
It's just a statement of fact. So I just don't imagine I'll be in Neyland this year. Yeah. And I've accepted that. It sucks, but we get football back, and I'm happy about that.
Yep. If they had the 5-game option, I would be there. I would do all 5 games.
How much would you pay?
Like, if I just got my regular...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not paying anymore. No. God, no.
See, I think tickets could be more expensive.
So, you think they'll make you pay more?
It's possible. Why would you not? you can charge more. Why not?
Yeah, then no. Yeah. I want my money back or do it the next year.
So, if you're selling 30,000 tickets, 25, whatever it is, 25,000 tickets, yeah, you can charge more, absolutely. Think about what you charge in the lower bowl versus the upper bowl. Lower bowl is probably like 60,000.
Yeah.
So you have, yeah, you could definitely charge more. I don't know if they will. They may not. They may.
God, that'd be an even bigger issue. Mm. Hey, you can't be in the stadium and we're charging more.
I think most people would pay more.
Yeah, I think for single game tickets, but I don't think the season ticket holders that already purchased their tickets would pay even more.
They wouldn't pay. They might pay on top of what they've already paid. They wouldn't pay more. Like, let's say they paid the 900 or whatever.
Okay.
500 for a single ticket, they wouldn't then turn around and pay 700 more, but they would probably pay 200 more. Does that make sense? To get in those 5 games.
That's crazy to me because like you're getting less games, but they are conference games.
They're conference games and they're in high demand.
Right.
That's what I mean by that.
Yeah. That's, I don't know. That's going to be something for
they
them.
Probably to won't because they do probably want to toe the line where they don't piss off fans. I
think tomorrow is more like a survey of what, like, the demand's going to look like.
Maybe. I want to know what the options are, because Penn State originally, I don't know what they've walked back on it, originally said they were not going to give the donation back. You could get a refund or roll your tickets over, but your donation would have to be paid again, and you already lost the $250, $500, whatever you paid.
See, I'll be pissed if they do that.
I'll understand that you're pissed. It just won't surprise me at all if they do that.
Yeah.
Because I think they're very careful about how they phrase that
donation.
So I guess for like NFL games, it's the ticket licensing fee. Mm-hmm. So you pay, it's the same thing. Instead of a donation, you pay a ticket licensing fee, which is $250, and then you buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess through all this, they're probably going to piss off some people.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess money's more important than fan morale.
Well, they're fine. they're one and the same, but they're finding out that. Right. They're spending too much money is what's getting found out. They need to, first off, the University of Tennessee doesn't need to be poking fans for money unless they have their lawyers looking really, really good into Butch Jones' contract and what if he's on upholding his end of the deal. That's what needs to be done.
Or the compliance office, too, would probably be great.
I'd also like to know if the compliance office is doing their job.
Yep.
I guess I forgot to. I accidentally skipped. Yeah,
Let's talk about that.
I went straight into Jeremy Banks and forgot about Cade Mays. Sorry, Cade. Like the NCAA, I forgot about you.
Free Cade Mays.
Free Cade Mays. Here's my biggest. I don't care what you think. He's transferred. I don't care. In conference, it's bullcrap. The lawsuit's bullcrap. The fact is, in May, the NCAA was going to approve a one-time restriction free transfer and table that vote for reasons unbeknownst to everyone. He should be eligible. It's that simple. Every kid who transferred for the first time this offseason should be eligible. Yeah. Period. End of story.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No questions
asked. I agree. It makes no sense. Like, what is your end goal to deny? If you're already planning on approving it later on, what's your end goal of denying somebody now?
After January, every player is going to be allowed a one-time restriction-free transfer.
And if this is what it's true, is the NCAA is going to give everybody who, even if they play or not, their year back. What does
play
it matter?
Play him.
Like, what does it matter if
And with all the people opting out, do you not want some of your better players in college football to be playing?
You'd think. Here's my thing. Like the thing you just mentioned about apparently, I think it was Pete Thamel, is that his name? Yeah. Tweeted that the NCAA is expected to vote on the where none pretty much this season doesn't count for anybody in the NCAA. Mm-hmm. Play Cade Mays.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
This season's going to have an asterisk anyways. Play Cade Mays.
Yeah, I agree.
They're going to find Jeremy Pruitt? They're going to find the NCAA may not exist after this year. Look at the Big Ten.
Are you going to make him ineligible next year? Because he's probably going to the league anyway. Yeah,
exactly. Play him. I don't care. Play him.
I don't understand. And I love the petition going around. I don't know how much that would carry. You know, how much weight that carries. The NCAA probably don't care. But the fact that Trey Smith, somebody who's, you know, the NCAA is recognized and, you know, won awards and been on award watch list. He's a public figure.
Yeah.
And for him to kind of tweet at the NCAA and be like, this isn't right. Again, I don't know how much weight that carries, but it's got to mean something.
Right.
Because that's one of your leaders in college football is Trey Smith. And for him to say something like at you and say you're doing something wrong, you're doing something wrong.
Also, just understand, you look at Aubie Solomon, which he didn't miss a game, thankfully. But a guy, look, and I know it happens all over the country, but this is Tennessee, personally. And then you look at guys like Uroš Plavšić, who missed half the season, and then all of a sudden, what changed for you to go, yeah, he's eligible? What changed?
Yeah, I don't get it. Again, like,
are you going to make Cade Mays miss half a season?
I want to, like, it's the NCAA's fault, but, like, what is the compliance office? How was like JT Daniels getting?
Someone did bring up a good point. He was redshirted last year, so he would that was.
So is that the only thing that matters? Because Tate Martell. Why is Tate Martell? Is it because Cade Mays isn't a quarterback?
Put him
in Shai Tuttle's old jersey and let's run him out to quarterback.
If he was a quarterback, there is zero doubt he would be eligible.
Oh yeah, 100%. But
he'd be eligible. It's that simple. But the fact is. It's just I hate the NCAA.
Yeah, it's so dumb. Just make sense. Like nothing makes sense. If there was a clear cut rule, which I don't think any NCAA rule is clear cut anymore.
Have eight guys in a room making a decision, it's the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, just this is what you need to be eligible. This is what you need to. You'll have to sit out a year. That's easy.
But
then they get lawyers and stuff involved, and then they're like, oh, God, don't do that. Or then they, like, get butthurt about something, and they deny somebody.
The restriction-free is what should play the most important into the 2020 season. Every single athlete should that transferred for the first time. So if a guy like – where's Tate Martell at right now?
Miami.
Is he transferring? Because that wouldn't surprise me.
No. Okay. I think he moved a receiver.
If he decided to transfer today – obviously, a guy like that wouldn't be eligible immediately because he's already used up his transfer.
Yeah.
But a guy who hasn't transferred, if freaking Harrison Bailey wanted to transfer tomorrow to another school, he should be eligible.
Yeah, and like, yes, that. It's a slam dunk decision without the one-time transfer.
Yeah, it make
moving home like that. Everything that what we thought would be a case for you to be immediately eligible. Is Cade Mays's, that's to a T.
Right.
But now he's denied, and all this is going on with people opting out and stuff, and you still deny him? Like, what is your end goal? I just want to know why he wasn't approved.
That's another thing, too.
Answer, put it public. This is why he was not approved.
Well, I want to know, and maybe somebody else can answer this for me, because I just don't know how this works. Is Tennessee told why he's ineligible, or are they just told he's ineligible? And they have to kind of figure out and work it and get him eligible.
I don't know. That's a good question. Jeremy Pruitt in his press conference, apparently he was not very happy with the NCAA.
He shouldn't be.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Three separate cases.
Yeah.
And this one was the easiest one.
The only argument to not be made to say that, you know, it shouldn't be, he's not eligible, whatever, is that he's transferring from a conference foe. That's it. But
is this the guy who recruited him is gone?
That's part of it, too.
The guy who recruited Tate Martell at Ohio State got promoted to the head coach. So,
oh, we know that. They don't look at that crap. They don't care. The coaches can move as much as they want. Players, nope. You're more restricted than the guys who are getting paid.
It's so dumb. And I love that, like, the people in sports are mad about it, too. Like, Lane Kiffin chimed in, Jay Billis, Greg McElroy.
I miss Lane Kiffin.
Even agreed for once.
If all these guys, Lane Kiffin maybe aside, who are respected in college football, are saying it's easy, who's making the decision? Like, who's in charge?
I have no clue. Is it Mark Emmert? Because that dude's a freaking moron, and it's shown. No,
first off,
this whole process.
First off, that is far below him. He does not give a shit about athletes' eligibility.
No, he doesn't.
That is too below him to be weighing in on.
Yeah, it's just it's wild. And Justin Fields is another one. Who was, like, he went
apparently, to... I mean, the rumor is he used that race issue at...
So does a lawsuit not carry any weight? I just don't understand. Like, I just wish somebody would explain why.
Right.
Because I think that excuse would be ignorant.
I mean, if here's my thing about Justin Fields. If Justin Fields transferred from Georgia because he experienced... racial views or, you know, racist tendencies, shouldn't any black player that wanted to transfer out of
Cade Mays, I'll get to that. Did it kick us off?
No, we're good.
Okay, cool. Yeah, sorry, my robot decided to pick up our cord, take off with it. So Big Orange Pruitt said, if Cade is ruled ineligible, could he still opt out and play an extra year? Well,
eligibility doesn't count against your if you're ruled ineligible, it doesn't count against your 4 years of eligibility. So yes, he would still have 2 years of eligibility after this.
Right, and he hasn't used up his redshirt.
So technically 3 years of eligibility.
Yeah.
Because he would not have to use his redshirt this year.
Yep. I don't know, and I guess every player, it doesn't count. Even if you play or not.
Well, if it passes. I hadn't passed
yet. Right, yeah. That's the rumors that it's going to the board, I guess. Or the board approved. It's got to go to the governor's. Board of governors or something like that. Yeah, I don't know.
We did get kicked off, so we're going to have to redo all this. Sorry about that, guys. what was our question about Nealon? I think it was about the single game tickets, though, so never mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was our only two questions about that. So we back on?
Yeah, we're back. We're good. Okay. We're good. Let's see here.
So the Big Ten, is it coming back? Like,
no, not the Big Ten.
So just, like, certain teams are just going to have their own season in January?
I don't think it was January. I think starting as soon as possible.
Oh, in late September. That's okay. So there's another thing going on saying that they're going to try to have a season before the NFL draft. So they want to, like, start it, like, January 1st. I'm just throwing that out there. But they want it, like, as soon as possible.
Interesting.
But I'm just thinking, like, what's the difference in them playing now than in January? I don't see a huge difference.
No, the thing I read was that they would try to start in late September. Yeah, like, as soon as possible. So, yeah, I haven't read the
so
one.
So those teams that were wanting to do that.
So it was the Big Ten as a conference was wanting to do the January thing.
Right.
So the big thing with – let's go ahead and do stupidity because that's kind of my take on the Big Ten.
Okay.
The Big Ten is so disorganized. They don't even know – athletic directors and coaches don't even know how the season got canceled.
Yeah. Kevin Warren should be fired, like, a week ago.
I will never understand that. So, like,
so they didn't even vote?
So, So, if the Big Ten is making this decision, the coaches probably don't even know about it. So, what I read was Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan, Iowa, and Nebraska are reportedly nearing an agreement to play their own football season starting in late September. That would be 10 games. A source said it's very close to being a done deal. If that happens, they're done with the Big Ten. Like, they will no longer be a part of that Big Ten.
That's insane. Yeah, It's a freaking mess.
Yeah. It falls on, like you said, it falls on Kevin Warren.
Yeah, that dude. Oof.
James Franklin said in a press conference he didn't even know if they voted. He was unsure.
Yeah.
You can't be unsure if you voted. That can't be what happened. And if James Franklin's lying, well, then he needs to be reprimanded. But haven't heard anything about that yet, so I'm going to have to go with he's probably not lying.
I've heard a lot of people saying that they don't know how it got canceled.
Yeah. And a day before it got canceled, you had a coach come out and say that he's talked about it with his AD, his president, and they feel very confident in what they're doing on the medical side of things. And then the next day, it's canceled.
3 days before, you release the entire schedule.
Yeah. It's 3 or 6. 3 days?
Oh, it was 3. Okay. Yeah.
A few days before, regardless.
Yeah, yeah, right. Less than a week.
Right. And the Big Ten is... It's absurd, dude. It's absurd.
What about that petition? It got a lot of signatures. Now, I don't know how much weight that carries.
All it does is make them look like they need to pay attention.
Exactly.
But they're not going to.
No.
Not going to.
They might have teams leave their conference.
Yeah, they might.
Because, like, if Ohio State leaves your conference, like... The Big Ten is pretty much done. I don't see really. Maybe Penn State competes.
If they get this done, which Penn State would be on with them, if they have this season, they will not be competing in the Big Ten. Because Kevin Warren's already pretty much come out and said that. Like, if these teams, like Nebraska, wanted to leave, like if Nebraska leaves, like they're gone.
Yeah, stick to your guns.
According to him,
that's some big guns leaving you to. Pick up the pieces if
yeah. Oh, I mean, the other teams will follow them before they follow you.
Right. Yeah.
Even if they don't play this year, they'll follow them next year.
Yeah. I mean, the Big Ten needs those teams more than those teams need the Big Ten.
Absolutely. I've got a stupidity. Another one. The Warriors. They. Well, I guess it's that the security guard at Oracle. Do you remember the story last June, I guess, of the Raptors president getting pushed and not allowed, and the security officer swore, he's a sheriff, but he was working security at the game, swore that he tried to push him and, you know, get by him and got physical with him. And have you seen the body cam footage?
I did.
Oh, my. And apparently, like, he lied like a week ago and was like, yeah, he tried to push me to get by. If you lie and you know you have a camera on you, punished to death. Like, you should be put to death. Because you're too dumb to exist as a human. You're too dumb.
That's true, yeah.
Do the old school, like, tie a rock to their neck and throw them in the water, like freaking Salem witch trial. Is that what they did at Salem?
Throw them off the Henley Street Bridge?
Yeah, with a rock.
Yeah, or like a
it's insane.
Cinder block or something.
It's, exactly.
Yeah.
You are too dumb. You definitely shouldn't be allowed to breed. No children.
No.
It's not that you're like, I'm going to lie, there might have been cameras to watch me. I'm wearing a camera on my person. And I lied.
Yeah, like they're never going to check that footage.
Right.
Good Lord.
Do you have any stupidities?
Yeah, I do. Actually, no, I don't. I don't have any stupidity. This is dumb. So, ESPN's Laura Rutledge, I like her. I don't have a problem with her, but she did say something really stupid that I feel like should be mentioned on the show. She said she believes Arkansas could be a surprise team in the SEC this year.
Shut the
hell up. Surprise team. We just talked about how terrible they were.
We just celebrated.
And they have the toughest schedule in college football.
We just celebrated women getting the right to vote. Don't ruin that. Laura Rutledge. I'm just kidding. I would never judge all women for the stupidity of her. Just like I would never judge all people like the stupidity of the security worker at Oracle. I think they should both be punished for the stupid things they say, though.
Yeah.
I wouldn't punish her to death like I would the security officer, but...
Yeah, she didn't have a... she did have a camera on her. So.
She didn't lie. She didn't lie about it. She might have said something stupid. She didn't lie about it.
Have you seen the Fernando Tatis thing?
No.
The 3-0 pitch?
Yeah. Dude, that's why people hate baseball.
Dude,
that's why people hate baseball.
It's so soft. And even his own manager took up for the Rangers.
Yeah.
And I understand you were a manager at the Rangers before, but dude.
It doesn't matter.
if somebody throws you a freaking cheese ball, it don't matter if it's 3-0, you hit it out of the park. A seven run lead is not that.
It was also in like the fourth inning.
No, it was the eighth.
Oh, okay. I thought I read that it was in the fourth. Okay.
But, like, that's a time when you do it. You don't do it when you're trying to get runs. You don't swing at a 3-0 pitch.
Right.
Because if bases are loaded and you're losing and you swing at it and you pop out, you're going to look like an idiot.
Right.
But, yeah, if you're taking hacks, taking freaking daddy hacks.
The point of it is if you don't want to get a home run hit off of you, if you don't want to get a grand slam hit off of you, don't get a grand slam hit off of you.
Yeah.
You shouldn't get bailed out because your team's getting your ass kicked. That is not how it works.
No.
That's like saying a team shouldn't intercept a pass if it's 44-0 and you're on defense. Nope. You should still intercept it. And if they don't try to tackle you, you should take it to the house.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Put more points. Yeah. More steam.
The unwritten rules of baseball are the dumbest things ever.
Dude, I don't like. Yeah, it's in different situations you don't swing at that, but that's just situational baseball. It's not an unwritten rule that you don't swing at that. No, that's bullcrap.
I love how someone tweeted, if the reason they're called the unwritten rules of baseball is because if they were written down, they would be the dumbest thing.
Exactly, yeah. It's like, yeah, if somebody throws a 92-mile fastball right down the middle, you're not going to swing at it?
No, you're hacking at it.
Yeah.
You're letting loose.
And it's one of the, like, Fernando Tatis is one of the, like, most exciting players in baseball. He's 21 years old. He's a young kid. And, dude, he's trying to make a name for himself. And he is.
Right. Now, yeah.
He just hit a grand slam. So, yeah, like, I just don't understand why he had to apologize for doing something great. It makes no sense to me. I'll never understand somebody apologizing for doing something good.
I hate that he apologized for it.
Yeah, I think his manager probably was like, you need to do that. And
I would have been like, why did you manage us into a position where we had bases loaded? Maybe you should have done it with knowing that we were up 7 runs. You should have just put us into a double play scenario, you jackass.
Yeah. You should have got out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, why are we not criticizing the guy on third base? He got on third.
Now if you get out, like, that's your pro. Like, you made your bed, you laid it.
Yeah.
So if you get out swinging at 3-0 pitch, that's on you. But if you hit one out, what can you say?
It's incredible. It is legitimately. I'm dumbfounded that is an argument.
It's and like nobody but like those like the Rangers and older people. I guess that those unwritten rules were unwritten. I don't know. I just don't get it.
It would legitimately be like in football. If we were up 35-0 in the fourth quarter and I hand the ball to the running back and the linebackers do not move and there's a hole and instead of hitting it and running, I just fall down with the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
That's the same thing.
And it's not like – so it's different because baseball is not on a time limit.
Also that. But so like, I mean –
So a 7-run lead, like a – if you're up 56 points –
but you can't kneel it out with 5 minutes left. You're going to still run the ball.
Right, yeah. You got to at least do something. Yeah, you might not score.
And you still
have to. You're not going to throw it deep.
You still have to stop the other team.
Right.
Or it's like being up 20 in basketball and getting to the end of the shot clock, and instead of forcing a bad shot, you just leave the lane wide open. You're an idiot if you don't hit a layup doing that.
Yeah.
Defend it.
Like, if the guy throws it underhanded, you don't swing at it? Exactly. Like, what did you want him to do?
Exactly.
So
be a better pitcher.
Yeah. And the next batter was hit for the Padres. I was like, really? If it's such an unwritten rule, he should have been like,
why do you hit the next guy?
I guess they were mad that he swung at a 3-0 pitch.
You're going to see the guy tomorrow night, right? Was it the end of the series?
No, I think they played the next and he stole third the next game.
You're going to see the guy the next night and you hit. See, that's just dumb. That's the things about baseball that piss people off.
Yep.
I got Florida, man. I got a good picture. Look at this. Super Florida man.
I guess I got it.
Can you see this?
Oh, my God. Why is it always a Florida? It's always a Florida fan.
No, those are the easy Florida men to find.
Yeah.
My first one is kind of – let me pull this up real quick. Honestly impressive. I'm not gonna lie. Okay, so Florida man A Florida man known as Captain Bubble, this might be Captain Bubble actually.
Mm. Makes sense.
Was rescued for the third and probably last time today as he was attempting to float to Bermuda. I can't pronounce his name. Raza Bellucci has had a lifetime goal of being able to float to the tropical island, attempting two times in the past. In both instances, the man was rescued by the Coast Guard before he was able to make it to his destination. The first time the man attempted to float, he made it 70 miles offshore. That is a long time to float.
That is.
And then the second time, he made it about 90 miles. That's impressive. To float. He's not on a
what
boat.
What about the third time?
I don't know. They didn't say.
Oh, he got to the pier and they're just like, come on, man. I'm not going to get you.
Yeah. That's an impressive feat, I think.
What's he on? Is he on like just a raft?
What does he look like?
Is he in an inner tube? Yeah. It's like he's floating down the Y up here.
Yeah, it's he's at the Lazy River at Splash Country.
Exactly.
Mine is Florida man arrested after allegedly breaking into office, leaving sign in window saying secretary wanted $17 an hour. So this guy breaks into this business. This is in Port Charlotte on April 27th. And he goes in there, starts using a computer, surfs their web. And then I think he gets a drink out of the fridge. But then as he's leaving, he makes a sign that says secretary wanted $17 an hour and leaves.
What's the end game?
Like, was he going to come back the next day and be like, hey, I saw your sign.
Can I
get a job?
Can I get a job? That's interesting. Maybe it's one of those, I don't know. That's weird. Maybe it's one of those things. So I've always talked about, have you seen those things? It's like, what would you do if you broke into a house? Not to steal anything, but just to mess with the people that live there. Like mine is, I would take all of the batteries out of everything.
Hmm.
Yeah, like just remotes, smoke detectors, anything that had a battery, I would remove. Or I would remove.
Do you take the batteries or do you put them somewhere?
I take them. They're mine. Oh, okay. You have to go out and I like try to find, like if they have extra, I try to find those and take them with me. So I guess I am stealing something.
Thief.
Okay. Or I steal power cords for everything. Okay. Like microwave, refrigerator, TV, power cord is gone. You still have the power. You still have the HDMI cords and all that, but I have your power cord.
That sucks.
Yeah.
You're an ass.
Or here's a good one. You need something that, like with a remote, I've heard of that. Actually, someone did this while we were in high school. Someone stole someone's key fob and they would drive by their house and just set the alarm off. That would be good.
That's messed up.
Yeah. Oh, I would hate that person, but that's a good little, just to, you know, mess with people prank. Or I don't know if that's called it. I don't know if
so,
you can call that a prank.
I don't know what, yeah, like, was he going to come back and be like, if so, like, I like that he, like, set his, like, he didn't set himself too high. He didn't, like, CEO wanted. It was just secretary.
But.
He just wanted to answer some
$17 an hour
to be
a secretary.
That's quite a bit.
So,
quite a bit.
Is it 40 hours a week? Because that's a cushy little job. $17 an hour, 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
It's not too bad. For, you know.
A secretary.
For a secretary. It's not too bad.
Yeah, he was definitely arrested. You can't break into
100% arrested.
Offices and surf the web and leave signs saying secretary.
Right. Right. Well, guys, that's all I've got. Thank you guys for hanging on, even though we went to a little break unexpectedly there in the middle.
Yeah, my robot's called Terry.
We need to make a DJ Roomba for you. From Park, you don't watch Parks and Rec.
I hate you. I did start watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Just for
great
you.
Show, great show.
I'm on episode 12.
DJ Roomba's from Parks and Rec, not Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So Tom Haverford makes a he takes in like an iHome, puts an iPod obviously in it, straps the iHome to his what are those things called? What is the actual name of them? Robot vacuums. What are they called?
Like a vacuum cleaner?
But like there's like
Shark?
A name. There's like a brand.
Shark?
Is that the brand?
That's what mine is.
Oh, okay. So, but one of those. He straps them to him and he calls it DJ Roomba. Roombas. I'm an idiot. And so it plays music as it vacuums.
Oh.
It's a brilliant invention.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think my robot Roomba is called a Eufy.
Okay.
That's the brand.
Roomba might not be right.
But the real vacuum cleaner is a Shark. like my actual one.
Oh, I'm talking about the Pro Bowl one.
Okay, yeah, so that's Yuffie.
Okay.
But his name's Terry.
I just got... I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
I don't know if it's Rumba. Terry, yes. I didn't know that you named it Terry.
Back it up, Terry.
After Back It Up, Terry. Guys, thank you, though, seriously, for hanging on. Sunday, got a guest lined up.
Yeah, we'll have...
I know it's football season, but...
Assistant baseball coach Ross Kivett on. Talk a little bit of Tennessee baseball.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll do it. Thanks for hanging on again. Free Cade Mays, we're bringing the boat in, and we out.